with this because we at State Parks have been interested in possibly doing some podcasts at our site.
Here I am in Forest Park on the Wild St. Louis event. Who am I standing next to?
My name is Andrea Putnam, and I'm the Special Events Coordinator for Missouri State Parks. I was invited to St. Louis WOW to help with the events today in any way that I can. This event is amazing. Last night, Friday evening, we camped out in Forest Park. We did Learn to Camp, where we taught people how to unpack and set up tents, and then how to learn to cook on a campfire, and then did lots of night activities like stargazing. And then everyone had the opportunity to camp over and sleep in Forest Park, which was an amazing experience.
And it looks like there are quite a few people who did stay.
We had close to 200 people. Last year was a little on the warm side, but this year was absolutely perfect for camping. Introducing this year, we are doing a new passport program called Trail of the Month Passport to Health. And we're encouraging people to get out into our state parks and to be active, to hike our trails. People will be traveling on our trails, hiking on our trails, looking for clues. So it's like a scavenger hunt. And they have to get a passport and record all of their hikes into their passport. And along the way, as they're collecting clues, they put those in the passport. You can hike as many trails as you want. We have 36 trails total.
Geocache Podcast 61 and 62, I talked to a couple geocachers who mentioned they went to Castlewood State Park for the Trail of the Month. A couple days ago, I talked with Mike Griffin, who's taking his family to start up at the top of the state.
Once you're done with your passport, you turn them in and you get prizes. So we are giving away hiking medallions. We have hiking sticks that are available in all of our gift shops that you can purchase. Very inexpensive. They're $7. And then the medallions that you collect for all your trails, you can put those onto your hiking stick. And we're also giving away a grand prize because there's a big clue at the end. If you can solve the riddle, we are giving away a GPS unit that was donated by Bass Pro in St. Charles.
How long does this last?
This will go through October. It's a six-month program, and there are six trails featured in each region. There are six regions throughout the state. Each month, we have a featured trail. We also have an accessible program, so if you're someone with a disability, we do have a special program, and you can get all that information from our website.
If I lived in St. Louis, I don't have to go to all parts of the state
to
participate.
No, this is the beauty of the program. If you live in the St. Louis area, we have six trails that will be featured in the St. Louis area, and you can earn medallions just by going to the trails that are in your region. Even if you only hike one trail, you'll still get an incentive for doing that. I forgot to say, we're giving out camelbacks. So if you can complete this higher level, we're giving out camelbacks.
So as you're walking around, there are many clues or just one?
All 36 clues are different. And then once you fill that out, people that complete this will be able to be entered for the GPS
grand
unit.
Prize. To find out more information, they would go to
www.mostateparks.com, or you can call our 800 number, which is 1-800-334-6946.
What made you want to do what you are doing now today?
I'm very, very passionate about the outdoors. I studied biology in college, and I'm getting a master's in entomology, but I love sharing what I know with people. And I started out as an interpreter at Babbler State Park. I had the opportunity to move up into special events and take my knowledge of interpretation and sharing that with that passion in a management position.
Of your normal day, are you spending it outside or do you actually have a desk job too?
I have a desk job. It's mainly a desk job. In the summer, I'm very, very busy. One of my main job components is the Katy Trail bike ride. I am in charge of developing and coordinating a five-day cycle across Missouri on the Katy Trail State Park. We go from Clinton, Missouri, all the way to St. Charles this year, and I'm taking about 350 riders. So that's a big part of my job. This is actually my third year in St. Louis WOW, but we have several WOWs throughout the state. We have WOW at Roaring River State Park, we have WOW Kansas City, WOW St. Louis, and WOW Springfield. Next year, we hope to have WOW Columbia.
What are you trying to accomplish by organizing these events?
This is a safe environment for people to come out and learn a new skill. If we have a family who has never been camping before, this is an opportunity for them to learn, to experience that in a safe environment. We provide those opportunities, but if you've also been camping, we provide more advanced classes where you can learn a new skill. And we just want families to come and be together and just have the opportunity to try something new outdoors. Our WOWs are held in many different areas. At WOW Roaring River, it is in a very outdoorsy area. Everyone down there fishes and does hiking, camping. But in St. Louis and Kansas City, yes, we're looking at getting families that have never done this, that have never had this experience, didn't even know these experiences existed. And we're trying to encourage them to do that.
Are you originally from this area?
I am not from St. Louis. Okay. I'm originally from Jefferson City, Missouri. Then I moved to St. Louis to work as an interpreter at Bablish State Park. Fell in love with the area because St. Louis has so many things to offer for people. A lot of gems that people don't know about, like Bablish State Park. Mm-hmm. Places to get away and to experience outdoors. I fell in love with St. Louis. I love coming to St. Louis and doing events. I love the people here.
Midwest Open Geocaching Adventure, the MOGA. What are your thoughts on that?
My thoughts are I would love, 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 love to get something going with state parks to sponsor events like this so we could jump from state park to state park and do events like this in our parks. So it's something that I would like to work on.
When did you discover geocaching and how is geocaching been incorporated into your curriculum?
So that is a very good question, because when I first learned about geocaching, I thought, I do not want this happening in my parks, because I didn't understand it. And then when I moved to Babbler and we had geocaches, and I started reading about geocaching and meeting geocachers and understanding that they have a love and a passion just like I do, and they're taking care of the resource, those walls broke down, mm-hmm. and I said, this is really great, and I really kind of got into it, because we had a GPS unit.
Well, you don't admit it to your coworkers.
No, I
really
do.
Like
I actually tell people that this is really good, and especially with children. I see a lot of people coming out with their children, and anything that you can do with your family as a group, siblings, you know, aunts and uncles, you can do as a family. I encourage that. And geocaching is definitely one of those.
So you've done all the caches in Babbler?
Yes. I had to maintain and check the caches in Babbler.
That is a responsibility for somebody
for
in that
particular role? For the interpreter at the site, yes.
Oh.
Because people may not realize that if you want to have a cache in a state park, you do have to have a permit. Unfortunately, yeah, I know it's a pain, but it's important for us because we do a lot of natural resource type things. Like we burn some of our areas and we need to know your cache is there. That way we don't ruin it. If we have a permit on that cache, we can temporarily remove that cache, do our burn, and then place it back.
Okay.
So that's why those permits are important.
Is there something on the wall that says, ask us about geocaching?
There are some sites. Columbia at Rockbridge Memorial State Park, they do a lot with geocaching, so it's very different from park to park.
There are state parks all over Missouri.
Yep, we have 83 parks and historic sites.
Are you responsible just for a certain area or everything?
I oversee all of the special events that take part in
okay.
Missouri.
What other events besides WOW and the Katy Trail Bike Ride are going to happen the rest of this year?
I have my hands in a lot of different events. Any event that is sponsored by an outside organization that's taking place in a state park, I have to do the permit process for that, and I have to kind of guide the people in the right direction for those events. Even with these big promotions, all the little things that go on, I kind of have my hand in.
Something like a MOGA?
We are going to discuss try to do the MOGA events at state parks, and if we oversee that as a special event, then we wouldn't have to do
okay.
that permitting process.
Did you get a promo DVD for MOGA 2007?
I did.
Okay, good.
Yes.
I just cut those last night.
That's what I heard. So I did get one. I stuck it right in my purse.
What else is up for you today?
We are helping people get off canoeing and fishing. Then I'm going to be helping all the little kids. So we'll be doing all kinds of hands-on activities. If you're high-tech, get a GPS unit and get outside and try these geocaching and just have fun. Once you start getting to know geocachers or you're dealing with the actual geocache like I was, that you realize this is very cool. And you were going to ask me about my favorite geocache. One of my favorite geocaches is this woman wanted to place a geocache in the site where her husband proposed to her. And now that they have kids, her family is coming back, or, you know, they place a geocache there because they'd always go back to that site.
Yeah. The biggest question mark, and one I think a lot of people are afraid to approach, is the conservation areas, because mm-hmm. each conservation area has a different guy. And some are like, not in my land. And some are like, I'll put a bunch of forms in front of them, that'll keep them away.
Yeah. Their mission is completely different than ours. You know, theirs is fisheries, forestry, and wildlife, and ours includes recreation. And geocaching is definitely recreation, so it fits right under our mission, and we can justify that. I just got a GPS unit donated from Bass Pro. But what we'd like to do is get several into our, what we call our special events equipment. Anyone that needs something, I have a list of equipment, and I will, you know, give that out as they need it. And we were talking about getting a set of those to have for people to do different events with, but obviously we won't be able to purchase them unless we can get a good deal or, you know, some donations, and just because our budget is really tight. Barb and I have been discussing trying to do something like that. The state of Missouri has a mandate that if you have any event or anything like that, you have to carry a $2 million policy, and that's not us, that is the state of Missouri. If we sponsor events like MOGA, then you do not have to do the permit and have the insurance because we are sponsoring that with you. Okay. And so that falls under our policy. That's why we've been talking about trying to do this in our state parks, so then you wouldn't have some of those roadblocks.
Yeah.
Even though we're outdoor and trying to promote being outside, there's still this little bit of technology that we're trying to incorporate into what we're doing. And he was really interested in podcasting and how can we incorporate this into our parks and sites. And so the more information I'm armed with as the marketing and advertising person, that I can take to my director and say, this is what I think, and I'm kind of into technology, I kind of like it, you know, so that helps with promoting it as well. And we see that, you know, we have to change with changing times. Thanks for all the information and doing this.
All I ask is you let us place caches in your park.
As long as I have the paperwork to know, because we did do management practices. Now, even if I came across ones that I didn't know were there, I contact people, they got back with me.
Yeah.
A lot of our sites will be like that now. I did have two, though, that I had no paperwork on. I contacted people almost a year and a half. No response. So by phone or by email.
You had to pull them? Okay.
Yeah. Well, I just had an idea. At Roaring River WoW, they have WoW Extreme. Mm. So these people are familiar with all the outdoor activities. They go backpacking. They backpack way far into the woods. They camp over. Mm. They cook. But wouldn't it be cool to give them a GPS unit and said, here's your ending coordinates. Mm-hmm. Find it. You know, I mean.
We put a park employee awesome. Out there and they need to be rescued. Yeah. Go and get them.
Yeah, people would eat that. They would love it. You can do that here. But you can do it with that group.
I wander around a bit more. I stop by the area where the nature photography class is in progress and engage in a conversation with a couple who are attending the class. I head over to the climbing wall for a discussion about rappelling. I catch up with Steven, who is leading one of the geocaching groups on their first cache hunt. Then we head back to the lecture area for some stories.
Photo convention. And I use that mode because if I were to take your picture in front of the Bellagio and I just put it in plain automatic shot mode, I would get a wonderful exposure of you and I'd probably get little pinpoints of the casino and might or might not pick up the water in the bay. If I put it in the nighttime portrait mode, you want to stable yourself. You're going to want to walk up and put it on one of the tillers or brace yourself or tripod. Like the little tripod they have is wonderful because what it does is it goes to a slower shutter speed and it fires the flash at the end of the exposure. So instead of shooting at 60th of a second, maybe it's shooting at 30th or 15th of a second. So it helps pick up all that ambient light in the background, then fires a flash at the end of the exposure. So if you ever take a picture in that mode and you're just hand-holding it, it's probably going to come out kind of blurry and smudged a little bit. So.
Morning.
Howdy. Class winding down.
No, we're going to take a walk.
Pictures. Take pictures?
Yeah. On a beautiful Saturday morning.
Oh, absolutely. I envy those guys sleeping out overnight in a nice cool weather.
We did.
A couple days. Oh, you guys were
there? Yeah.
Cool,
I'm
nice.
Part of that group. Yeah.
Where are you guys from?
About a mile and a half from here.
Oh, okay. Didn't know the park existed until now.
No, we knew the park existed.
That's a big lens.
Yeah.
Head over here to the rock climbing wall. Suiting a couple of people up in harnesses.
If you were to clip this here into one of those bolts, then this end, this screw gate, he clips this into that bolt that's there. He screws the gate shut, and then he takes his end of the rope and he clips in. So now when he falls, that's as far as he's going to go.
Ah.
And he's secure.
That was security for him.
Yes. So the higher off the ground you are,
the better
for not hitting the ground. But like I said, some falls that you take are still pretty dangerous. So what we have so far, Pamela is the belayer.
Okay.
Reed, what are you?
Flat.
The climber. Yeah. So I'm the smartest class in the world.
You go ahead, hit the climb.
This again is the figure eight, and like I think it was it Pamela you said this morning, this is a safe knot for a lot of things.
Okay, I missed the first intro of the geocaching class, but I see Stephen has a group of them here. I'm going to follow them and see where they're going.
Yeah, it'll correct itself.
Oh. Like a bunch of lost people.
Yeah. They're called geocachers.
No, it definitely would never be inside the fence, any kind of fence. Well, it wouldn't be inside the actual perimeter.
Or it says it's on the other side of the building.
Not there?
On the other side of the building.
Ah.
When you walk into the building and keep going around,
yeah.
It's on the other side.
The problem is when you follow the arrow, you don't look where you're going.
You just walk into the wall, tree.
Yep. How's it going, Stephen? Have they been finding him?
Yeah, great.
Is this the last one on your list?
Uh-huh. This is the difficult one.
Oh, really? Oh, so that's it.
Yeah!
Yay!
Great! What a cool place for it. Little leaves covering it up.
Yep.
Yeah, you can tell somebody was here earlier.
That's another major lesson. You want to always make sure that you replace
really
the
hide.
As well as it was hidden.
Good teamwork we made, huh? Fine,
yeah. Okay. It was leading me all kind of squiggly ways.
Get satellites a long way away trying to tell you how to get right to here.
Yeah, definitely at the very last few feet, you gotta go slow. Once you've done it for a while, you'll start looking for like piled up sticks or things, and that'll give you a good clue. Because you know a leaf doesn't, leaves don't grow out of the...
They do not grow out of the bottom of trees, okay? Not the bottom.
So, now we're just following back to that coordinate that you marked at the beginning.
Always waypoint your car.
Right. Or my bike, yeah. I did that. I had to do that yesterday in Jefferson Barracks. I actually took it in with me into going to find Cedar. And I finally said, I'm leaving my bike right here because it's in the middle of that mess. Because it was too hard to navigate.
Did you find Cedar?
Oh, yeah.
Good for you.
You know how I did it, too? I didn't do anything with changing my coordinates. I just took a piece of paper, and I had the top and the south and the north Cedar, those coordinates, and I marked with the piece of paper how far they were and then made the triangle that
way.
I kept looking at my points of interest and waited until the two cedars were on top of each other.
Oh.
And they were the same distance, and that worked. I was really proud of that one. I'm not going to say it didn't take me a long time, though. And I started looking for a cedar tree. There is not an evergreen tree anywhere in this area.
Okay, and it got him within like 4 feet, and then they started searching, and that's what it's about.
I bet you find it.
Those of us that do the cache and really enjoy it, it's a fun hobby. And you can do it as a family, you can do it alone, as a group, when you go on vacation. People actually schedule their vacations to towns that'll have a lot of caches hidden.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Or they'll take their route along certain roads where there's caches along the way they can stop.
You and Sarah met through geocaching, didn't you?
Yes.
See? A budding relationship because they're both geocachers.
It's going to ring somewhere and give her the coordinates to go find it.
Yeah.
Now if we could only get her son to more interested in that, he's like, again?
Yeah. Well, they drag him everywhere. Jim's caching name is Strider. Her son is Marble Boy.
Okay. She's pro speed 30.
That's it for part one of the audio from the WOW St. Louis event held in Forest Park. In part two of two, I roam around the event a bit more, then sit in on one of the geocaching 101 training classes being presented by the Slaga Volunteers. I interview Liz Lyons, who is with the Missouri Conservation Department, and Barb Wilson, who is with the Missouri Department of Natural Resources. So stay tuned for part two. This concludes the Slaga Podcast. For more information about the Slaga Group and geocaching in the St. Louis, Missouri area, go to www.geostl.com. Here's wishing you a strong signal and a trusty bearing.